Okay, let's all come back together again. We'll have a bit more time in a little while to get back into our groups and do some more discussing. So I've put down on the sheet there, what next, in terms of this process that we're in. I've written down a verse there that, again, I was drawn to recently, which is from Psalm 84, verse 5, which says, "We are blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." And what we want to just talk about for a little while is if we've got a vision as a church, which I believe we have, which is about bringing healing, freedom and wholeness to broken lives and broken communities as we expect great things from God and attempt great things with God. If we've got that vision as a church, then what will help us get to that vision? So I want to talk about vehicles, thinking about being on a journey, thinking about moving from where we are to a destination, and talk about vehicles that will help us as a church, as a community of believers, to get to that vision. So we're going to talk about four primary vehicles. Two that you're familiar with and two that we're going to introduce. Okay?
Okay, so I'm going to start by talking about the Sunday celebrations. As Andy already said, we're in a Kairos time and we don't know the answers, so don't ask us, because we've got to still process as a leadership team. So why are Sunday gatherings important? By Sunday celebration gatherings, we mean the whole church, whole of HBC, gather together in one place. Why is that important to us? Whatever happens in the future, it's still going to be important to us because of a shared sense of community, a sense of belonging, a sense of keeping the cohesion as a family, as a whole group, and to be a place of resource, first of all, for us and God together, and corporately, and then for us to go out there. So within that, there will be times of worship. When I sat down to write this tonight, and Andy said, "I've got 5 minutes," I just kept writing. I thought, I don't know if I'm going to say this in 5 minutes, but I'll do my best. But we just had a most amazing time of worship. And almost every song that Ed picked talked about us communicating on a deep level with God. And Psalm 42 talks about deep calling to deep. And we really believe at HBC that it's important that we have corporate times of worship to recognise and welcome the presence of God, to tune in to what he's saying to us as a body corporately, and to feel his heart, to give him the praise that's due his name, and to declare who he is. There's also something that happens when we come together, in that we speak out to the powers and principalities in the world out there who we are as the people of God, and as particularly HBC. It's to delight in him, it's to love him, it's to honour him, it's to create that atmosphere where we can exercise our gifts, we can see creativity, we can call on the prophetic, we can see healing, and we're going to see healing, and we can really encounter him. Jesus talked about worship in spirit and in truth, so that's worship. The word, I could go on all day about God's word, and I'm sure you know it all, why we need God's word to test everything that we do and to bind it on our hearts like he talks about in Deuteronomy. I think it's really interesting that when we have this encounter with God in worship and the word is opened up to us, there is this revelation that comes because our spirits are ready to hear what God's got to say through his word. In John 5, Jesus spoke a warning about scripture of the Old Testament to the Jews, and he said to the Jews, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think by studying them you'll get eternal life. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." And I was just pondering on that verse today and thinking about how the word of God is an invitation into an experience, into an encounter with God through Jesus. And if we position ourselves like that to receive his word, then that new and fresh daily bread and revelation can come. The third part of what we try to do on a whole Sunday gathering is ministry. Why do we do that? We do that because we want to position ourselves to receive what God has got for us. to give it away to one another and to see us being a channel for this Holy Spirit to bless one another and to impart something. And it's about making that revelation come alive. It's learning to live out of that encounter with the presence of God so that we're conscious and we keep being dependent on him. And it's a way of demonstrating our hunger and humility as we come to receive from him. So we do believe that's really important. Youth and children. I'm sure there's far more qualified people in the room to talk about children than me and youth, but I'm going to give it a quick stab. Deuteronomy and Proverbs talk about teaching our children diligently so that when they grow older, they'll know the way to go, to instruct them, to pass on a legacy, to teach them how to learn to live in community, even when perhaps sometimes they don't want to. Give them opportunity to encounter God. The old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. We really believe in that. It takes a church to give a whole-rounded encounter with God. And we're privileged to have some amazing, amazing kids and young people in our midst. And I was sitting with Reuben, which is Ed's number three, on Sunday morning. He walked to the front and he sat on my knee and he was watching Reuben, Ugo's little boy, being dedicated. And he was absolutely mesmerised because he couldn't work out there were two Reubens. There was him and there was this Reuben. And it was just amazing just to sit with him and watch him trying to process this at 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 2.5. He couldn't get this in his head that that was Reuben and I'm Reuben. It just really confused him. But just such a privilege to see how God just touches young people and children. They're their precious creation. And they're the church of the tomorrow. Who knows what it's going to be like when they're adults? Scary. So that's youth and children's ministry.
Okay, so that's something that we're very familiar with. You'll know how important it is for us to gather, and that's a vehicle that we have and the importance of the Sunday mornings. The second vehicle we want to just talk a little bit about to you is a new vehicle. It's a vehicle that we've been experimenting a bit with some folks in different ways, different expressions of missional communities. And it's our intention as a leadership team to launch officially missional communities, hopefully sometime in the autumn. And that's our plan. Not quite sure yet exactly how that will work. We need to work that through together as a leadership team, talk to the church a little bit more as well over the next few months. But our desire would be to officially launch missional communities. And that's not to say that we're going to stop anything that's already running. We're not in the... don't feel it's right to stop things in the sense that if a life group wants to come in a meeting or whatever, organic things going on, that's fine. But we're going to have a structure within the life of the church which will be called missional communities. And In the leaflet, we've given you a second leaflet on your table. And this is an information leaflet about missional communities in IPOS. So we'll refer to a bit of the stuff that's in here. The first thing is to say is that as we officially launch missional communities, then we've got certain hopes and criteria for who will be the leaders of those missional communities. And if you've been listening to the teaching or been on the journey with us, you'll know that we are looking for people, individuals, who are growing and developing in these five areas of character, chemistry, stroke, call, competency, skills, capacity, commitment, and charisma. And we talked quite a bit about this in February, so we're not going to repeat it now. But we're not looking for perfection. We're not looking for people who are like arrive and say, right, I'm sorted in all these things. The key thing that we're looking for is a willingness to grow, a willingness to learn, a willingness to say, actually, I've still got owl plates on, I might have been a Christian 20 years, I might have been a Christian 20 months, I'm willing to learn, because actually that is what it means to be a disciple, basically, to be learners, that's the Greek word. Within that context, we feel that there are four non-negotiables. So if we're going to have this official structure, what we're looking for within that are a process. And we're going to unpack this process over the next few months of the steps for this. But we're looking for an individual or a couple or two friends, however it works out, who will have a heart to set up a missional community, and they will build a core team around them of another 3 to 4 to 5 individuals. So we really believe that although there's maybe one or two or three people who are leading it, there's like a team dynamic of work here. Because that recognises the importance of team. It's not just about one person leading something. That core team will build the rhythms of that missional community intentionally around the up in and out dynamic. So up, there'll be times of worship, prayer, Bible study. In will be times of eating together, caring for one another, sharing life, sharing resources. And out will be times when we're doing stuff to connect with our people of peace, our communities, a bit of prayer, walking, all sorts of things. There's no limit, really. Thirdly, and this is probably the key difference for a missional community from say, any other group that we've had in the church, is that the community, it gathers around a sense of vision, a missional vision. And I wanted just to give you a couple of examples of what I mean by that, because I think for us, one of the difficulties that we're grappling with is that we recognise for some people, it's hard to know what this is going to look like until you see it. And it's a little bit conceptual at the moment, because we're not, we've had a few experiments going on, a few people have been trying things out. Jen and Mike with Ed and Sam and Lindsay and Katie have been trying something in Blaken and Andy. And a group have been doing some stuff, and Hool and Ben. They've all been trying to do different things in different groups. And that's been quite experimental. We've said to people, have a go, talk to us as leadership. Some of those people have been iPodded just to help us as leadership. But none of them have, we're still learning on this process. We're still trying to work out how it's going to look. So I've been talking to a friend of mine called Nick Hardy. And Nick leads a church in Liverpool, and they've got missional communities. I asked him for some definitions, and Sue went on the website as well, of what we mean by missional vision. So we're not talking about things that are really difficult. We're talking about quite low bar things that are quite manageable. So, for example, I'll give you one here. This is a group called Outrageous Love at Frontline. We're a missional community that aims to show Jesus' love in practical ways to its own members and to the wider community. That's their vision statement. We're a random bunch of 20-somethings, most of us, 20 or 30-somethings, most of us have kids, therefore busy lives. We're based in South Liverpool, and our aim is to love our neighbour as ourselves. We use our lives as a starting point to connect with those people that God puts in front of us, and then we demonstrate God's love to them in practical and sometimes outrageous love, testifying that God cares for people in our city. This is one called Cressington. This is an area of Liverpool. This is a missional community based roughly but not exclusively around Cressington. We aim to reach people like us with a group of people with existing friendships that wanted to be much more intentional in being community together and reaching our non-Christian friends, colleagues and neighbours. We mainly do stuff like meeting up at each other's homes, where the kids might play together, or we might go to a park. Sometimes the dads do things together, and sometimes the mums. Just one more. We've got a whole list here, and we'll send this out. They're just examples of what we're... And for me, the primary thing about the whole thing about discipleship culture is building in a level of intentionality into your life. The way that you're living your life individually and then with a group of people around you. And then what we're seeking to do is to say to those people who are the core team of a missional community, we want you to prioritise in your time each month to be in an iPod.
But that other leaders within the leadership of the church will put you an iPod in, that'll be a place where you'll be invested in, encouraged, and as part of the way that we'll do all the rhythms of the church's life in the autumn, we'll make sure that time is available to do that well.
So the six core members or whatever, each missional community,
will
they all be an iPod
together? Not sure yet, but there will be an iPod. That's the one we've got to work out. Okay.
So, and this is a vehicle. Okay, so it's a place where you will learn together to be able to build your lives around a vision that is looking outward, that will enable us as a church to get better at making disciples. And what we'll seek to do is we'll experiment with this for a little while. We'll do it for a period of time, and then we'll review it and see how we're getting on, and we've got a whole load of steps that we're trying to work through. So we haven't got the full plan, but this is our intention to talk more. So when we meet again in June, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and we'll also have one or two other times where we're going to call people together. But the idea from our point of view is to take the step and actually have a go, organise it properly, and to resource it properly, and to empower people to really get involved in this. So on the back page, there's a whole load of information about what it is and what is a missional community. We've talked about this quite a lot before, it's on the other side, I should say, in the middle pages. So it's based around Acts 2, 41 to 47, that picture of the church in Acts. And we've got these five F's: friendship, focus, fun, food, and fired up. And those would be like core elements of what we're looking to be ingredients that make up a missional community. Okay, so some of this some people will have heard before. We've talked over the last three times we've met, the Saturday morning in November, the February one, and the April one. We've talked a little bit more about each of this, but over these next 3 months, we as a leadership team are going to be much more intentional to build a process of steps to hopefully get us to the autumn so that we can actually launch these. Okay, does that make sense? And I know, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions about that, and tonight was just to say this is our intention. This is where we want to go. So my hope would be, at some point we'll maybe launch, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 missional communities. Some of that will depend on what comes out of people's hearts and vision in the church as well, and we'll seek to resource that together. Now, running alongside that are the third vehicle, and the third vehicle is iPods. Okay. So again, we've talked about iPods again in February. I've written it all down again on the back page of this information leaflet in terms of what these are. And basically, I thought one of the ways to help you understand what an iPod is to ask two people who've been in an iPod over the last 18 months or so while we've been experimenting with them. And just to give you a little bit of a testimony of what that's been like for them, what impact it's had on their personal walk with Jesus. So Ben, just going to give us a little bit of the impact of being in an iPod. What happened?
Just realised that I thought you asked me about being in a missional community. okay, so being in an iPod. I guess it's nothing new or revolutionary or nothing that you haven't heard at the front on a Sunday or in, you know, however you resource yourself in terms of Bible study or information, that kind of stuff. But it's an opportunity to practice things together, to practice listening to God together, to practice being prophetic for each other, to practice ministering to each other in a safe environment. So I've been a Christian for a number of years and keep on hearing talks and being challenged about, you know, praying for people, the non-Christians who interact with, that kind of stuff. But it's a big leap to just hearing someone tell you to do it and then doing it with some random person or someone at your work. But having the opportunity to practice with a group and people that you know you're on the same page with in a safe environment is being really releasing for me. And I felt like I've been much more ready to hear God's voice, to hear some of those Kairos moments and act on them, because it's not completely alien to me. I've got some practice of doing those kind of things. That's the key.
Okay, that's great.
Thanks.
Sam,
do you want to come and share about your experience?
First of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for being the most wonderful church. I haven't been able to get to church recently as often as I used to be able to, because I've been at a new job, which has been amazing. But I was having a really hard week. I don't know why. The enemy was just throwing stuff in, and I was listening to it, which is a bad idea. But I got to church, and one person was just like, this. And she just was like, oh, you really encouraged me. And so I just asked God, and I think she might have been in my pod, I don't know. But she was like, I'm asking God just about some specific stuff about you so that I can tell you when I next see you. And so she just told me all this stuff, and it was just stuff that I've been questioning, like exact stuff that the enemy was throwing at me, and it was just amazing. So thank you for being a wonderful church and doing this already. For me, the iPod, I wrote down two things. It's an opportunity be in a place to challenge, encourage, and honor. I think I really got that. The main thing I think that changed for me is Sue Glover just said, ask God what he thinks of you. And she doesn't even remember doing this, I don't think. But I did, and then it's just God loves to tell you and tell others what he thinks of them. That's pretty much what I do now. I just listen to God, and God's like, oh, this about that person, and this about that person. And it's just awesome. And then the second thing is, I said it. Increase of how to listen to God, and he is constantly affirming us. He constantly wants to build us up, and he constantly wants to build others up. And two quick things. I love what I heard someone said about Mother Teresa. They said to Mother Teresa, what does God say to you? I can't remember which way around it is. What does God say when you're praying? And she said, he doesn't. He listens. And he said, well, what do you say to God when you pray? And she said, I don't. I listen. And that's so awesome. I love that. And it's just listening to God's heart and just getting closer and closer to that. And that's what iPod did with me and for me. And then one last example that I just think is awesome. After being encouraged in church, I went back and I've been praying for more boldness again, just to love people. And our neighbor has been having some real difficulties with her father and illnesses. And she just walked up, and the other day I said, oh, okay, I'll be praying for you. This time I was like, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And I was like, I don't know if you like believe in God and stuff, but I'd love to pray for you. And she said, no, I don't, but I would love you to. And I just got to pray for her, and just it was phenomenal to see the atmosphere change. She came home so demoralized, and then for the rest of like 2 hours after, I got to cut their hedge, and then they gave me a bottle of wine, and then the guy brought me out a beer, and I was just like, this is it, like, just love people, pray for people, and you get beer and wine. And Jesus is just awesome. So yeah, that's what I got out of iPod, just listening.
So just to summarise, what we're trying to do in an iPod is trying to do is to help those of us who are expressing leadership across the church to be intentional about our own discipleship. And there's a phrase that we use in that context, which is low control and high accountability. And what we mean by that is that the iPod isn't there to control what you do. But what it is there to do is to help make you accountable in terms of the circle to work out. If you're feeling God is saying something to you, and you're processing the Kairos moment, and you believe God is saying this to you, then the person who leads the iPod will check up with you that you're doing what you feel God has asked you to do. And just that simple process of having somebody say to you, either a month later or in that week with a text or how are you getting on, if you've done what you think God has asked you to do, spurs you on in a way that I think helps us go around the circle. And then the other thing that we're really keen to do is it is a place to really practice what it means to live out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be naturally supernatural, to have a safe place to do that, so that then we can have the boldness and the confidence to do things like Sam's just described, and make that part of our everyday lives, where we're willing to step out and pray for people, share the love of God in that way. And that's all in the context of the principles of up, in, and out, and just reflecting how you're doing in those three areas. So that's what an iPod will do. We'll talk more about that as we go through the next 3 months. And then the final vehicle. Sue?
Just to say, you might wonder how we are old enough as accountable. Andy and I both on an iPad as well, by Skype, with some of these other leaders out there. Some are abroad and some are in this country. And that's an incredible challenge for us, because we have to do things in between Skype calls and make sure we're being held accountable for them. So we do get to experience that on the other end as well. Right, the last vehicle is missional projects. And we've got three headings under that: serving the city, Hall Lighthouse Centre, and local partners in mission. Why do we believe in serving our city? Well, quite simply, we believe that God has a redemptive purpose for every city that exists. And we ask the question, why are we together as a city? And I believe passionately that God has brought Chester together for a reason and for a purpose. I can spout all day, if you like, but I won't do that tonight. But also, it's part of Jesus' heart. Jesus' last prayer said, I pray that they may be one. If you actually study that in John 17, it talks about how he wants his people united and together, in order that the world may know that he was sent. And so we very much believe that that's why we're involved in the city. Also, in Isaiah 64, it talks about rending the heavens and coming down and making his name known. That's another verse that for Chester has been really important across Link Up, which is our primary way of expressing churches working together in Chester. Then we have certain partners that have grown out of that in some way. I'll come back to Hall Lighthouse Centre in a minute, but our local partners and mission in some ways are linked to our city relationships and city heart. And some of those you're very familiar with: Street Pastors, CAP, CSCW, Crossway, Engage, and there's loads of others. And they're still important to us. We aren't going to just ditch them, because we believe that that's part of us expressing the kingdom together. And then in-house, if you like, Hall Lighthouse Centre, in Hall Community. There are several mission projects that go on here, which include Who Let the Dads Out, Sparks, which is a toddler group, and Trackers and Debiz, which is the children's and youth. And then there's probably other things like Coffee Bar, and I'm sure Rachel will give you lots of list of things that go on. But it's primarily how we resource what Rachel does. There are also global partners of mission, which are not on here. And the reason they're not on here is because they come into a slightly different category. But we're not giving up on them. They're still very much part of who we are and how we express our wider concerns in a bigger perspective. But we haven't put them on here because they're not a vehicle of structuring HBC, if you like. They're a vehicle that we look out to, so it's slightly different. Okay, so having said all of that, we're going to spend some time now observing, reflecting and discussing. Okay, we're going to do it again on our own for a little while, and there's just one question I'm going to ask you. Having heard a lot of what we've said tonight, what are the three uppermost questions that it raises in your mind that you'd like to ask? Okay, the three questions that you'd like to ask might have been about the teaching, it might have been just a throwaway thing we might have said, it might be your worries or concerns about the way ahead or the way forward or the changes that are coming. So have a think for a little while on your own, and then we'll get you to discuss it, and then we'll get you to ask questions, because we're going to have a Q&A at the end.
Is that okay? So the three most important questions for you personally that are uppermost in your mind.